Black Londoners have 2 to 3 times the risk of getting diabetes as compared with their white counterparts. And South Asians here have a 6-fold increased risk. Obesity varies widely between different ethnic groups in London, and health seems to differ markedly between people of different social class or income. I heard the latest on this from Professor Peter Winkup at a scientific meeting hosted by the London School of Hygiene and Tropical Medicine.
We've been focusing very much on the links between ethnicity and physical activity patterns and diet because these are potentially changeable and amenable means of prevention. And it's clear that physical activity levels are lower in people of South Asian origin. This also applies in children. And interestingly, studies that we've carried out have suggested that this may be partly explained by the fact that fewer children of South Asian origin actually walk to school, more of them are driven to school, and we're trying to pin factors like this down so that we can suggest particular interventions that could bring about improvement in the situation.
So physical activity is one of the things you focused on. What about diet? That's different between ethnic groups, isn't it?
Yes, indeed. The dietary patterns, even in children of different ethnic groups, are very markedly different. Differences in the patterns of fat, sugar intakes, and also quite big differences in micronutrient intakes. These lend themselves to interventions, to prevention, but we've got to pin down exactly which of these factors is important and how much change would be needed to bring about benefit in that setting.
What sorts of strategies do you have in mind for improving the health of people here and all over the world?
In a sense, it's partly about implementation of existing knowledge, concerns about the high energy intakes, high fat intakes of our diets, and in some cases, low levels of micronutrient intake. We need a very strategic approach to improvements in the national diet, increasing consumption of fruit and vegetables, for example, which are particularly low, again, in ethnic minority populations. We all need to be building physical activity more into our everyday patterns of life and making sure that the built environment really facilitates this to happen.
And of course, not smoking.
Yes, of course, a fundamental issue which I drew attention to in the lecture are the very high risks associated with smoking in specific ethnic minority groups which urgently need attention. But there was some good news about passive smoking exposures being lower in many ethnic minority populations because the smoking rates in women, and particularly including mothers, tend to be lower in those groups. But smoking is something we can't regard with complacency. It's a serious challenge that has to be tackled in ethnic minority groups as well as in the general population.
Social position, socioeconomic position or income group comes into this as well, doesn't it? How and what do we know about it?
Yes, well, that's a very important issue. Many people have believed that socioeconomic position actually accounts for many of these ethnic differences in chronic disease risk because, at least in the first generation after immigration, many of the ethnic minority groups are relatively socially deprived. Our findings suggest that the picture may be more complex and that socioeconomic patterning may work differently in people in different ethnic groups. So socioeconomic factors of themselves don't necessarily completely account for ethnic minority differences in health, and reducing socioeconomic inequalities in health, though that's a very important target in its own right, challenge in its own right, won't necessarily completely account for and deal with the problems of high disease rates in ethnic minority populations.
So in a nutshell, to have stereotypes in your mind about which races have particular diseases might not be right?
Indeed, in relation to different ethnic groups, disease risks very clearly are occurring, but to suggest that these have genetic explanations is, I think, profoundly premature.
And the most likely culprits are food, physical activity and tobacco.
Yes, the likely culprits can be found, I think, in the way we live now and the way that that particular parts of our culture live. But it's a two-way exchange, as I've shown in the lecture. Some ethnic minority populations experience both high risks and low risks of diseases. We tend to focus on the high-risk situations, but the low-risk situations are also important, and we may be able to learn from those as well.
Peter Winkup from St George's, University of London, talking to me after his Pemberton lecture to the Society for Social Medicine annual meeting held in the London School of Hygiene and Tropical Medicine. For Audio News, I'm Peter Goodwin.